I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be in the Lord's house one more time. Because God is so amazing. We've heard that He's holy this morning. And great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So we ought to be thankful that God has blessed us and privileged us to be able to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. The Bible says, be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Good morning to my Alfred Street Baptist Church family, and certainly to those in the overflow room and those watching on the World Wide Web. I greet you this morning with the love, the joy, and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take this opportunity to thank God and to thank my pastor, the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley, for the opportunity to stand here on this, the fifth Sunday in Lent. I'm certainly grateful to God for this particular time. As we make our journey from Ash Wednesday to Easter, we celebrate during those 40 days observing how to discipline ourselves, some abstain from, perhaps some pray, some want to draw nearer to God, but there's also a time for repentance and self-discipline. And I certainly pray that we, through the proclamation of this word this morning, would have a heart's desire to want to draw nearer and dearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take the opportunity to thank the Christian Education Ministry under the leadership of the Reverend Dr. Judy Fitris Williams and Deacon Barbaranda Walls for the excellent Lenten Meditations for 2018. For truly, I was blessed by many of the thought-provoking messages by our new Lenten writers this year, and certainly want to encourage others to continue to be a part of our Lenten meditations whenever requested. If you have your Bibles this morning, your iPhones or whatever, I would ask that you turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And if you're able, stand to your feet, that we might reverence the reading of God's holy word. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all of the men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. I want to preach from the subject this morning as you take your seats. Another chance. Another chance. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to be in your house one more time. Thank you for giving us another chance. And God, I ask now that you would bless this preach moment. Bless your preacher and your people. And God, I pray that your name would be glorified and your people edified. Pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Another chance. Church, another chance implies that there has already been a chance given prior to the chance, this chance, and for whatever reason, the outcome was not what we expected or what it should have been. I can remember as an elementary student, we were given time tests on our multiplication tables, and we were quite a competitive group. And I, like all of the students in my class, I wanted to earn 100%. But there were times when I made mistakes on that test, and I came up short with a 96 or 98. I wanted to take home 100% to show my grandparents so they could be proud of me. And I couldn't wait for another chance to redeem myself. But I want you to know this morning, church, taking a test in elementary school is minor. When I think about all of the other mistakes I've made in life, and yes, I, like many others, have made many, but I thank God who has given me many chances over and over again. But beloved, that's the way life is. Sometimes we make mistakes, all of us, and we come up short. We're not satisfied with the outcome. We find ourselves looking, hoping, and praying to God for just another chance. But if the truth be told, we know the Bible is true. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We've all put our foot in our mouth at some time. We've closed the door too soon. We've pointed the finger at others when failing to see our own faults. And too many of us have not taken seriously what it means to grow spiritually and to produce the fruit that God is looking for in our lives. And whenever we're not serious about life, church, and we find ourselves just going through the motions, I want you to know something can happen and give us a wake-up call that humbles us to ask God to give us another chance. Don't head for the door just yet, thinking the sermon does not have anything to do with you. It has something to do with you, and it has something to do with me. God wants to give us another chance. But believe me this morning, church, when I say that God wants to give us another chance. That's why God has privileged us to see another year, 2018, another month, another Lord's Day. And if you think about it, even another moment here and now. We serve a God who keeps right on giving us chance after chance. But the problem, I believe, for too many of us is that we've not come to the realization that God really does love us. And God wants to redeem us. God wants to secure us. Because God does have a purpose and a plan for us in the kingdom of God. But many of us have not yet to bear any fruit with the many chances that God has already given. And I just believe with my whole heart, there are those who are sitting in our midst this morning who want to really repent and to give your life to Christ. But because the world is keeping a watchful eye over you, You don't know how to let go and let God. But may I remind you that the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And simply put, do not conform, but be ye transformed. I want to let you in on a little secret this morning. Get over trying to live a lifestyle that reflects worldly living. I've been there and done that. The world we live in is a world that does not care whether you have another chance or not. But I assure you, Jesus does. That's why he went to the cross of Calvary, so you and I could have another chance. But in this world, think about all the turmoil, the tragedies, all the weak and wickedness of our country's leadership. Think about all the backbiting, all the lying that is being done in and around us. Think about all the hell that is going on right in front of our faces day in and day out. Do you really think the world cares about you? No, my sister, no, my brother. You had better start caring about yourself. You better start caring about your own soul. You had to start living by letting your roots go deep into having an intimate and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. It's a scary place, this world that we live in. And yet the Bible teaches that the devil is in the world seeking whom he can devour. But I believe that Greg Laurie is right when he said, the devil knows that if he can get our minds to dwell on sins, then it will be just a matter of time before those sins are acted out. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your life. And for sure, don't let the devil make you out a liar, thinking you can live any way you want and it's all right with God. It's not. Sometimes you must have sense enough to say, get thee behind me, Satan, because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Church, while it's so easy to point the finger at everyone else, there are some of us sitting in church, we're not any better morally or spiritually than some of those outside the church. We can't see our own sins for always gloating in somebody else's troubles. And that's just the point that Jesus wanted to make in verses 3 and 5 of this pericope. He said to them, unless you likewise repent, you will also perish. And as we look at the context of this passage and parable, we see that it's divided into two parts, verses 1 through 5 and verses 6 through 9. It deals with a calamity that had taken place and a parable of a fig tree. Now for me, these two parts are interconnected. For us to have a better understanding of what the Lord really wants to teach us about another chance, about sin, and the need to repent daily. And so the relevant question this morning is, why in the world does the Lord keep giving us another chance? Well, first, so we can see ourselves as we really are. Second, so that we can see the need to repent of our sins. And third, so that we can see that fruitlessness will not last forever. God has the power to cut us down. First, so that we might see ourselves as we are, We do not have all of the details, church, of what occurred that day, but this much we do know. In verse 22 of the same chapter, it says Jesus is making his way toward Jerusalem, and we know why, to face death. But along the way, he's teaching in the cities and villages. And today is no different when a group of folk, we do not know who they were. Perhaps they were Jews, and they bring up a touchy subject about a serious calamity that had taken place in Jerusalem. And in essence, what they said to Jesus was something like this: Master, do you know Pilate? That man, Pilate, the Roman governor of the province of Judea. Do you know what he did, Master? And they didn't wait for Jesus to give them a response. They went on to say, Pilate killed some Galileans and mingled their blood with the blood of the sacrifices that were being made. And some said this could have happened on one of the feast days there in Jerusalem. We don't know. But what you need to understand is that the Galileans were Jews from Galilee, the same region Jesus was from. And Galilee was out of Pilate's jurisdiction. And being a mean-spirited and evil man that he was, he took the opportunity when these Galileans arrived in Jerusalem to kill them. He took pleasure in thinking he had power over them. And that's what people do when they have a little power. They take advantage of other people who are not in power. Or they take advantage of people who cannot defend themselves. We know some folk like that, don't we? But as I gave prayerful consideration to this conversation, what came to my mind is that these are they who are trying to get into Jesus' head to see how he will respond or react to what they have shared with him about this serious calamity. But this you need to know. I want you to hide this in the inner sanctions of your heart. According to Jewish theology, individual suffering was attributed to individual sin. That is, tragic death was the result of someone's extreme sin. Jesus helps them and us to understand that suffering, beloved, has nothing to do with one's spiritual state. And while this might have been and still is the view by many today, it is not a correct conclusion for one to draw. The minute somebody gets hurt, somebody dies, something happens, oh, you know, he must have been sinning. You know, if he stopped taking that dope and them drugs and that opiate and all that stuff, he wouldn't be dead. We want to say that somebody's sin is the cause of why they had a tragic death. But what Jesus does through his reflective dialogue with this interested and opinionated audience, he shares with them and us that all people are sinful, not just poor people, not just black people, not just Muslim people, not just the dope addicts, not just the gay community, but everybody is sinful. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus is always ahead of us in our thinking, because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And Jesus sees this as a teachable moment, perhaps so that they and we can truly see ourselves as we really are. We are all sinners. And all of us need to repent of our sins. Sins not just unto salvation to be saved, but repent of your sins daily. Jesus says we are all sinners. And so Jesus meets these good old church folk right where they are. And he says to them, do you think those who suffered, that is those who died, those whom Pilate killed and mingled their blood with the sacrifices being offered, were worse sinners than other Galileans? But Jesus goes on and said, no, they were not. Unless they repented, they would likewise perish. But Jesus didn't stop there. He took the matter a step further and reminded them of a similar calamity that you read about in John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, in which a tower was leaning over the pool in Siloam. It collapsed and killed 18 people. And Jesus said those victims were no worse sinners than others in Jerusalem. Well, it reminded me of the walkway bridge that came tumbling down in Miami, Florida on Thursday. And as I was listening to the 10 o'clock news that night, the inspector was on the air. And here's what he said. He said, what happened here today brings light to the human side of things. But he went on to say, this lets us know how precious life really is. And how true this statement. Life is precious, church. And we need to repent unless we all would perish. And Jesus was also bringing to light that while others may not die from being murdered or a tower falling on them, they face even a worse calamity. He said they face eternal death, much worse than physical death, if they do not repent of their sins. The point for us to consider is that not one of us should die outside of God's grace and care. And the way to avoid such fate is to repent by the name of Jesus and on his atoning blood. For the Bible says if we confess with our mouths, believe in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But the question must be in your mind, why in the world would good church folk need to repent? Those who left us say they live by the Bible, God's holy word. Those who come to church every Sunday, those who teach Sunday school, those who serve as leaders in various ministries within the church, those who stand behind the pulpit, and those who sing on the choir. Why would Jesus tell these good folk that they too will perish unless they repent? Well, I'm glad you ask. Repentance, beloved, is not just for the murderers and the adulterers. Repentance is not just for the porn stars, the sex offenders, the gang members, the dope addicts, and the sellers. It's not just for those who tell lies and steal you blind. Repentance is not something to be done unto salvation and then given up for life. Repentance is an ongoing attitude. It's a daily thing. Perhaps that's why Paul said, when I would do good, evil is forever present. And it's from Paul's statement that we can see the certainty that sin is all around us. The truth of the matter, it's in us because we were born in sin. And all of us can stand in the need of another chance to repent. Listen to what David said. He said, my sins are ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Well, what does it mean to repent? It means to feel such remorse or regret for past conduct as to change one's mind regarding it. Repent means a sincerely turning away from and turning to God. But too often, we church folk are like those church folk in the text. We want to point the finger at her, him, and them. But I'm glad this morning Jesus sets the record straight for all of us. We cannot equate tragedy with divine punishment. Tragedies do occur, whether intentionally by oppressive leaders like Pilate in our text, like Herod, like the Russian president, Putin, or the terrorist Bin Laden, Nicholas Cruz, who killed the 17 persons who died in Parkland, Florida, Dylan Roof, who murdered 19 at the Emmanuel AME Church, or Stephen Paddock, who left 15-8 dead in Las Vegas, Nevada, or the policeman who died last week coming to another's rescue in Prince George's County. What Jesus was saying, church, is that tragedies do occur, but we all have just as much sin to repent for as those who died had to suffer for. So let me bring the subject just a little closer to home, just in case you missed the point that Jesus is making this morning. If God had dealt with us according to our sins, let me make it personal and say my sins. Some plane we've been traveling on could have gone down over the Atlantic or a Pacific Ocean, but for the grace of God, he's given us another chance. Just traveling on the streets of D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, no exception. Bullets are always flying. I don't know about you, but I'm saddened when I hear of a 6-year-old, a 14-year-old, and the 19-year-old girl, the bullet went through a windshield, shot her in the head, and she was on her way to Florida A&M, didn't have a chance. But God has given us another chance this morning. I just stopped by to tell you, just like the fire truck going down the street in D.C., but ran into a car, instantly killed the driver. He suffered and died. Were those who died any more sinners than we are? Yet they suffered and died. The Lord wants us to see ourselves as we really are. So during this season of Lent, it's an opportune time for us to do some introspection, to evaluate our speech, our thoughts, and our actions. And if we find anything that's not pleasing to God, it's time to confess our faults to Jesus, to receive the pardon that he desires to give so that we can start afresh. What Jesus is trying to teach us this morning is that one person's sin is no greater than another person's sin. Sin is sin. All sin is sin. And when we see ourselves as we really are, filthy rags, before a cross of mercy and grace, we must repent of our sins daily, not just once for our salvation. There are no exceptions, and it does not matter who you are. Repent of our sins of omission and commission, those we know about, those we don't know about. Ask God daily to forgive us anyhow. But there are some consequences. If we do not repent, church, we will likewise perish. God has given us another chance. So what will you do with the chance he's given to you? Will you keep on putting off for tomorrow what you should do today? Will you continue to play Russian roulette with your life? Will you continue to live on the edge with one foot in the church and one in the world? What will you do with another chance? Will God have to cut you down because you continue to be one of his freak trees that are bearing no fruit? Time is too short, church, for us not to take seriously the mandates of God. Time is too short for us to keep messing up and not wanting to confess up. It's time to stop always seeing the faults of others, but can't see our own faults. What will you do with the chance God has given you today? But thirdly, what happens when there's no fruit being produced? Come with me for just a few more minutes as we enter this vineyard where the owner has planted a tree and expected the tree to progress and grow. He expected to find some fruit on the trees, but he found none. And for years, I watched my father grow all kinds of plants, not fig trees or apple trees, orange plants or anything like that. We lived in a country. So he planted tomatoes, string beans, and strawberries, and the sweetest white corn that I've ever eaten in my life. But my father expected to find something on the vines of everything he had planted. Never did his plants disappoint him, unlike what many of us have done in disappointing our Heavenly Father. Metaphorically, the owner of your tree and my tree is God. And God is just looking for us to bear some fruit because the tree belongs to him. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God came looking for some fruit. And after 3 long years, he expected to find fruit on that fig tree. And this was not just any kind of tree, a fig tree. In biblical times, fig trees were very valuable. And if I can do a comparative analysis, we too are valuable to God, as was the fig tree. Just think about it. Jesus had to pay a costly price, a price we could not pay for our sins. He shed his blood to pay the penalty. And God expects us to produce some good fruit. And I would suspect the first fruit is the fruit of repentance, unless we too should perish. The owner had come looking for fruit and there wasn't any. The owner, no doubt, got tired, was impatient, said, "Enough is enough. Cut it down. How long do I have to wait to get some fruit? How many chances do I have to give this tree before it becomes fruitful? What good is a fruitless tree? All it's doing is wasting the soil, taking up space that another tree could use." And after a while, church, the owner gets tired of the tree being fruitless. When you think about it, the tree could be either one of us. Could it be, I don't know, that some tree, some individuals we know, have fallen unexpectedly? They've been cut down in what we say much too soon. But could it be that God received no fruit from the tree? And therefore, God, the owner, cut it down. Only God has that answer. I don't know. But what I do believe, there is hope. And our hope is in Christ Jesus. For in this text, the gardener is Jesus who said, "Give it another chance. Give it one more year. And after that, I will dig around its roots and put some fertilizer on it." And this is what I learned about fig trees. Slow growth in a fig tree is indicative of poor soil nutrition. In order to speed up the tree's growth rate, you must fertilize the soil. And if there's no fruit next year, well, he said, cut it down. And just maybe there's somebody here this morning who needs some fertilizer on your tree. Fertilizer around the soil of your soul. Thanks be to God, there's a remedy for any tree. Your tree and my tree we call life, whose roots are earthbound, so earthbound that they might not be heavenbound. And if there's someone in our midst who knows that your roots are dry, Jesus is your answer this morning. He is the living water. Put some living water on your roots so that you can grow up in the fullness of his grace. Put some living water on your roots so that you might grow up in the beauty of his holiness. Put some living water on your roots so that you might love him and serve him better. Put some living water on your roots so that the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you unto all truth. He keeps giving us another chance. And when I think about my own life, the Lord has given me more chances, perhaps, than I really deserve. I'm a sinner, church, just like you, saved by the grace of God. But I share briefly two events when he gave me another chance. I'm reminded back in the 80s when my family and I did a lot of traveling. Here we were in the Bahamas on Paradise Island. I cannot swim, but I was in the pool. Down in the shallow water. And I closed my eyes, basking in the sunshine and the warmth of the water. Hell, folks were all around the pool when I got in. But I found myself later in the deep end of that pool. And I cannot swim. I'd gone down once, nobody around the pool. I'd gone down a second time. And I said, Lord, help me. And I looked up. And I saw Michael Crawley, Rodney Gunn's godbrother. I knew Michael could swim. Michael, come and get me. Michael jumped in and carried me, I don't know how, to the shallow end. And I simply say to you, God gave me another chance. Perhaps I had not been producing any fruit for the kingdom of God. But on another time, driving down 95 South, I had a 280Z back in the 80s, and the world was my playing ground. And I thought for sure that I had it going on. And here I had Rodney again sitting beside me. He was about 6 years old. Here I was behind an 18-wheeler truck. I started to pass that truck. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. But I impulsively wanted to pass. But the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. I had sense enough to listen to the Holy Spirit. Applied my brakes. And just as I cleared the back of that truck came over into the lane that I would have been in. Went into the middle aisle. All the way over to 95 North. I don't know if he had a medical incident or if he fell asleep. But what I do know, if I had gone beside that truck, I would have succumbed and my son. But God gave me another chance. I thank God today for every chance God has given me. Maybe I haven't produced all the fruit that I should, but I remind you of just another event called a Good Friday. And out there on Calvary's cross, he gave me another chance. you another chance. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, your soul shall be saved. Christ shed his blood, hung, bled, and died. But God raised him up on the third day to give us another chance. What will you do with the chance that God has given you today? Why don't you give your life to Christ by giving him the fruit of repentance that he desires, that you might know him indeed as Lord and Savior of your life? He did it, but he didn't have to. He died to give us another chance.